You are listening to Dynamiting the Brain with your hosts, Brian Smith and Anthony Askew, with special guest Bradley C. Meek. Tonight's episode, Summer Here Kids.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. On today's show, we take a trip back to 3 months ago to review the spring 2015 anime that we've been watching. And then we'll discuss the next 3 months of anime as we look forward to the summer. And joining us to do that tonight is Bradley Meek from the Anime Now podcast.
Hello.
Hello, Bradley. And so we have to ask our first question, how went the spring? And I've got a list of the things we said we were going to watch. And I'll go through them one by one, and we can say whether we watched them or not. Ace of Diamond 2, I think this was a Bradley one. Did you watch this, Bradley?
I haven't caught up to the point where I can watch Ace of the Diamond 2. I still watch an episode every now and then, though, when the mood strikes me. I still enjoy the series, even if, as I've said before, it is really only the most exciting slideshow in anime right now.
Are you sure it's the most exciting slideshow? That's a pretty other exciting slideshow's career.
Well, I've heard some pretty bad stories about the production values of our next selection, so how did that go?
Arslan Senki. I've only watched the first episode, and I will say the first episode is perfectly acceptable anime. It reminded me a bit of the World Masterpiece Theater stuff we just watched, in that the first episode... it has a bit more incident than those first episodes we just watched, but in no way has it set the series up by the end of the first episode. The prime moving event of the story has yet to occur.
So it was perfectly acceptable in the way that you will never watch it again?
That's correct, yes. Right. But I can understand if somebody wants to watch a lot of anime... they want to get all their money's worth out of whatever subscription services they've got, then that's a perfectly acceptable anime to watch, as far as I can tell. Did any of you watch it, or is it just me?
I'm going to probably. I think somebody on the podcast wants to review it, so.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think the manga's on the Crunchyroll manga, so I could just read that. And it'd be probably quicker.
I heard the CG for this is a little jarring. Is that true?
Yes. So imagine how jarring the Berserk mass battle CG is in the Berserk movies, and then scale that down to TV animation.
Oh!
And that's the other, because I think I'd tried to watch it very early on when it first aired, and that had put me off. But that's quite a short period, but unfortunately it happens right at the start of the first episode.
Not starting off on the best foot then.
No, whereas actually the bulk of that first episode is, as I said, perfectly acceptable. Okay, next up is something I think we all watched, probably me and Anthony Bullock's things watched more than Bradley, Blood Blockade Battlefront.
Whoop.
Anthony, what do you think of this?
Well, it's got to be the best one, hasn't it? Gotta be the best of the series. I called it. I've not done a preview episode for the last two times we've done it, I think. I've been ill and I've been off elsewhere, all that kind of stuff, but I recorded a preview and I said this was the one. And I was right. It's entertaining. It's intriguing. Didn't need a recap episode so soon, but why the heck not? Well, it's doing everything else right.
So, a couple of episodes before the end. It's not really that soon.
No. Well, no, but it's short enough to not need one, surely.
I thought it was just disappointing that they didn't do what they did with Kira Sagiga when they needed a week to catch up and send the cast to the locations from the anime. Could have just sent some of the cast to New York and had them wander around New York.
Or dance. Just watch them dance. Just put another song for them to all dance to. I would... watch that for 20 minutes.
But it's not as bad as Gatchaman Crowd's recap episode being the penultimate episode.
Oh. That's a kick to the teeth.
It was.
Yeah. That really is.
As bad as that was, Yatterman Nights was quite possibly worse, because what was in the final episode that was supposed to be there and worked was amazing. And then you get this jarring transition to, well, we had to throw in some animation from the opening with no real continuation from the fight scene that was happening just before that. And we somehow resolved since then. God, it's a mess at times. Anyway, so Blood Battlefront Blockade, something like that. I was underwhelmed by the first episode, actually. I thought it was fine, but I didn't see what made it worth the hype that it has been gathering over the last few weeks. But again, it's on the list of things I'm likely to podcast about, so
I was gonna say,
worried about going back
to watch that first episode, particularly the fight at the end. There is some really stunning stuff in that last fight.
Oh, it's really impressive animation in the first episode. But I was more underwhelmed by the story. I think it was yet another, oh, here's our special boy, and we've got these two fairly generic factions fighting each other with magical powers. And none of it really resonated with me.
If you don't like that story, wait till White and Black come into it. Well, I'm not
going to say, because I'd say it's my favorite, but it's not perfect.
Because of that little storyline.
Because they have an original storyline as well as adapting the comic. And when they're next to each other, you can tell how tonally different they are.
Yeah.
So often you'll get like a zip bang, crash bang wallop, exciting story from the comic.
Which is what's great about it.
For about 15 minutes. And then you'll get 5 minutes of this story about these anime original characters. Which is also fine, particularly in the latest episode where it's just about them. And then when they're not put side by side with the Night Owl stuff, it's cracking. But yeah, side by side, it is a bit jarring that how it suddenly slows itself down often for at the end of each episode to get back to this other story. That being said, it's great.
It's still really good. best intro, best closing theme.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if my opinion of it improved over the next few episodes when I get around to it, so.
Favorite episode, Anthony?
There's a lot. Genuinely, I love the boxing one. I love the board game. I think it's going to have to be the boxing episode.
I was going to say, my favorite is the one which is from the comic, I believe, but is a little less zip-bang-pow, and that's the one with him and the mushroom.
Really,
creature.
That is a sad episode. That is it's a good episode, but yeah.
It is.
I think Bradley will love it. Once he gets his teeth into it, he will really like it.
Okay, next on the list was Digimon Adventure Tri, and that never happened. It's some OAVs coming out later this year. Then Gintama. Bradley, I think you're the only one who watched the returning Gintama.
Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it, too. The first few episodes are very funny. There's an especially biting episode where one of the characters has to figure out how to hide this porn that he's storing for somebody else so that his friend's parents don't find out that he reads what is obviously To Love Rue. And they figure out that the best way to hide the fact that To Love Rue is essentially porn for teenagers is if they just put it on the shelf next to Dragon Ball, and then suddenly it looks innocuous. It is an excellent episode.
Good, good. Anthony, I believe you're the one who braved Gunslinger Stratos.
Oh, God. This is not good, good. This is the worst. It is. So I'll tell you what. What's his name? Gen Urobuchi, whatever he's called. He's starting to become a bit of a two-hit wonder. I like Madoka and I like Psycho Pass. Everything else that I'm like, yeah, he's been a part of it. I'll probably like it. Everything else I try is dull. This is just the worst thing. Looks terrible. It's a game as well. That's always a bit of a sign that it's probably not going to be that good. It's just so generic. I can't even remember what happened. It's people shooting things at each other, like they fall through into another world. It's just so dull. Like, that sounds quite exciting, but I'm overselling it, but it's terrible. Don't bother, trust me.
How involved in the production was Gen Urobuchi, or is it just he came up with the concept
his concept, and I think he just gave them a piece of paper. That's the concept. Do what you want. Give me my money. And I'll think of something else a bit silly to make some more money. So yeah, just avoid it. Just don't even do yourself a favor. Just forget it ever existed, really.
Bradley, can you back a little way from your mic and adjust it, or adjust it down again a little bit? Because I'm picking up all sorts of background noises, and you're popping a little loud each time as well.
Let me check something.
It was this gunslinger Stratos excitement coming across the mic.
Okay, yeah, that was the cat's plane. How does it sound now?
That's better. Do they watch Gunslinger Stratos?
I think they were tearing into the box to express their opinion of Gunslinger Stratos.
Me and the cats.
Now, I've got Hello Kinryo Mosaic on this list. Did any of us watch that?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm probably going to go to Kinryo Mosaic as one of those series I keep in my Crunchyroll queue for when I'm specifically in the mood for that kind of cute healing anime. But recently I haven't been, so...
Okay, next up is it wrong to try and pick girls up in the dungeon? Anthony, I believe you're a big fan of this.
I am. It all started as a bit of a joke, because I read this name originally, I was like, oh, this is going to be just pervy, everything just awful, everything awful that I don't like. And it's not, it's everything that I do like. It's like, it's Sword Art Online with the kind of the best aspects of Sword Art Online a present, and the worst bits just aren't there. So part of me prefers this to Sword Art Online.
So is it people trapped in a game, or is it just...
They're not. It's kind of like, yeah, it's their real world, but they do level up, and it's explicit that they are leveling up. They're not getting stronger in the way that, you know, you lift weights, you get a bit stronger. They actually level up. So it's like an MMO, but in real life, I guess. And it's pretty entertaining.
I was bored pretty quick with the first episode.
Well, I don't know. Perhaps I give it a lot of ease because I'm a sucker. And it's got the two voice actors from Sword Art Online as well as the two main characters, which is good.
That is good. Probably part of the appeal.
Yeah.
That they're going for. Did you watch it, Bradley?
No, I mean, a memorable meme came out of it with the whole string tit brawl, that kind of thing, which was fun to watch on Twitter for a little while. Beyond that, I didn't see anything of it.
Which, that was hilarious in, I don't know, what the news, because I read a lot of news, so I'm sure the Daily Mail, as trashy as it is, I'm sure they had a small article on it about basically Japanese girls.
Well, that was an excuse, let's face it. It was an excuse to... post-sexually suggested pictures.
Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess so. But they would just had the wrong idea. But it's a dodgy costume.
Okay, let's move on to something less dodgy, and that is Joker Season 2, which I'm almost up to date with. I think I'm a few episodes behind. But it has been still pretty great. There's another writer on it this time who does such a good job of doing both styles of episode, I didn't even realise that it was a new writer till... I thought it was still like Daisato and Kimiko, whatever her name is, I forgot her surname, doing the writing on every episode. But no, there's like a solid chunk, which is somebody else writing now.
Hmm, okay.
I think they first came on with the one with the guy who dresses up like a pyramid, which made
that was
my favorite
a really
episode.
Good, yeah. That was a really good episode.
Particularly that butterfly effect bit at the end.
Yep, it's still really solid. I'm still really enjoying it. But there's one particular part of it that has stuck with me since I originally saw it. And I think you might know what I'm talking about when I say it was the most gruesome, not really a murder, I've ever seen in a children's cartoon.
I can't remember what bit you're talking about on that bit.
It's the one where Joker gets fried in a vat of oil.
Oh, I've seen
it. And he lives through it.
The thing is, that's just another day in the park.
I'm sure it is.
Is he brutally scarred or burnt? Or?
He's not. That's the thing. He comes out perfectly fine, and they come up with an explanation that's like really scientific of, here's why he was able to survive being fried alive.
It's human temper again, isn't it? It's like, because it happens to Mako in Kill la Kill, and it happens to loads of people in various Go Nagai stuff, so.
There is something about that particular way of dying that horrifies me.
Oh, yeah, it horrified me the first time I saw it in Abashiri Family in the comic, because it happens to loads of people in that. It's like they're having like a contest, a fight over the top of a giant vat of boiling oil.
Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah, I'm a little further behind than you are, but I'm definitely going to finish this, even though I don't see us podcasting it. Because there's not much more to add than our already excellent review on the Anime Now podcast. So
we'd only be able to discuss the reveal of Dark Eye as True Identity.
I wasn't expecting that. So what was the hint that you mentioned in our review?
When in the episode Dark Eye first appears, Hatchie and Dark Eye get stuck in the lift together. They go past a billboard for whatever that band is called, the idol band in the show. And he expresses how big a fan of them he is, and Dark Eye gets slightly embarrassed.
Okay. I completely forgot that.
I mean, that is literally the only clue, apart from the fact that those characters showed up in the ending theme in every episode. Obviously, they were a degree of some importance, not really in the first season. But I do like that episode as well, particularly Hatchie and King and Joker's band.
And the idol band itself is pretty fun. I especially like the idol who's only in it for the money.
Oh, yeah, and the one who wants them to take it seriously and then decides, oh, we'll combine the only in it for the money and stealing things, and we'll market ourselves as a thief idols.
Yes!
Okay, talking of thieves, Lupin the Third. Did it happen in Italy? Did it actually come out in Italy? I mean, I heard it was coming out in May, but I not found any evidence that it did.
I think the first episode did, but... beyond that, I don't know what's going on here.
Supposedly October for Japan. I have seen the logo, which is pretty cool, with it's the three is in the colours of the Italy flag.
Ooh, that is good.
So, we've already done the Jigen movie and the Fujiko television series.
Yeah.
Whose series is this?
I think it's separate from those, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I think I read somewhere that Koike wants to do other things for Goemon, Zenigata, and then Lupin.
Okay.
I think the finishing with Lupin is the plan. I can't remember which order he wants to do Goemon and Zenigata. Assuming I was reading something correctly and it wasn't just somebody fantasizing. That is always
probably
the problem.
What I wasn't aware of is, even though I know Koike had done the designs for the last two Lupins and obviously this one, he's just going to work on Lupin for the foreseeable future. Is that really true?
Did he do the designs for this one?
Did he?
For the new one? I don't think he did.
It looks slightly different to what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think his things are separate to this thing.
Oh, okay.
If I remember correctly.
Anyway, I love what he's worked on so far.
But frustratingly, we've not been able to watch any Lupin this.
Oh, yeah. It's a nightmare. I keep thinking, shit, it's out. And then...
apart from, of course, we watched a bunch of Lupin for the podcast anyway, but...
yeah.
Okay, on to My Love Story. Anthony, take it away.
Well, this was a one that, you know, everyone knows what happened. Well, not everybody, but most people know what I'm into, and it's not this. But I stumbled upon it. I don't know whether I watched it on must be on Crunchyroll.
It is on Crunchyroll, yeah.
And I really liked the first couple of episodes. And the main characters, I just like this kind of role reversal, the big oaf getting the interest and all. And he reminds me of somebody I know as well, which makes it even funnier. But beyond that, I don't think I can be bothered to watch anymore. That's not to say it's bad by any means. It just doesn't have anything that really appeals to me beyond what I've already seen. But it's still entertaining. It's still really funny.
How about you, Bradley?
I liked the first episode. It's really, really cute. And yeah, it's got a pretty good sense of humor as well. The story was a little dragged out. They were apparently adapting only the first chapter. I think they could have done the first two and it would have been a much snappier and more appealing show. I enjoyed it. Unless I'm going to podcast it, though, I'm probably just going to read the manga instead.
Yeah, I was put off by how choppy it looked in the trailer, but the actual show is well made from the episode or two that I've watched. But I don't know when I'd get the time to watch.
Exactly.
So that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, On to the purest anime ever made. Ninja Slayer from Animation.
Oh. I agree with that sigh, Bradley. I sigh in tune with yourself.
I think this is particularly aimed at people my age. From sort of the references and from the fact that it has all these sort of indie bands that I remember, at least a bunch I remember listening to in the 90s, doing a individual ending theme on every single episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's going to have the coolest soundtrack album ever put out. But yeah, I think it is aimed particularly for people around my age. I don't know how, so, I mean, even some of the references I sort of didn't have to look up, but saw people mention. You know, the one very blurry shot in the opening theme as it zooms in on somebody? On Ninja Slayer, rather.
Right.
It's a reference to a particularly bad blurry shot from one of the Ninja Sentai series.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I have such mixed feelings about this, because on the one hand, I admire, in a way, what it's doing and how it's doing it in this lo-fi aesthetic, and it feels so pure in its intentions of just making the dumbest, most entertaining crap it can. But for 15 minutes per episode, it's a bit much. And I found myself, even though I didn't like Inferno Cop, wishing it was around the length of Inferno Cop. Inferno Cop felt perfect for what it was trying to do. I just didn't much care for what it was trying to do here. I feel like I'm gradually adjusting to this crazed aesthetic that's in Inferno Cop and Ninja Slayer, perhaps. And if it could have been 3 or 4 minutes long, including the opening theme, and on YouTube, I probably would have liked it a lot more. As is, I'm really underwhelmed by it.
Mm. It's a bit too long to binge. At least with Inferno Cop, you could put it on and just deal with it, whereas that it's a bit too long.
It's only about 10 minutes if you skip the opening and endings.
It feels weirdly stretched at times, where
that is the purity of it. It's Inferno Cop was very static without, but this is even more pure animated, that it's very static with sudden bursts of excellent animation, which is like most other anime.
That's one way to put it.
That's why, but it boils it down to, like, the static stuff is so static. It's not even trying to trick you. Other anime is trying to trick you that it's not being static.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is just open about it.
I'm disappointed. And apparently I'm wrong, because I've seen so many stills from the manga, not the novels, and I was like, this animator is going to be fantastic.
Oh, you're not alone. There was all those pictures people were putting up of the Nico Nico streamings with the huge negative people sort of saying they hated it on the first episode. And I think that people were expecting it to look like the manga adaptation.
But the thing is, I don't know why I'm shocked, because I knew it was going to be in the same style as Inferno Cop. I was under the impression of that.
Okay, was surprised by it, but I never checked the staff for it, and I never watched a preview or anything. So.
Yeah, it is the same director as Inferno Cop, okay. So I think that was the clue.
But
why
am I surprised? I should have known. But
still. And it is strictly a net animation. I hear people say that they're going to reanimate it for TV. I don't know whether that is just fantasy in people's heads.
That seems a little unnecessary. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to see the manga animated, because that artwork is fantastic. Just get Karajiri on it.
But apparently the dialogue is straight out of the novel.
Okay.
So, like a literal adaptation of the novel.
So animation for this was more typical of what we expect from anime, would you enjoy it as much, Brian?
Possibly not, because I think it is particularly going for something 80s, early 90s. So I think if you maybe would want, if you wanted it on like a better animation, you'd probably want it to ape that style. Particularly, I mean, the latest two-part storyline has been like a ridiculous cyberpunk parody.
I will watch it. Don't get me wrong, but I can't help but feel a little let down.
Cheated. But yeah, I did like the fact that the positive ratings gradually went up on the Nico video replies. Because obviously,
well, that's just because they filtered out everybody.
All the weak people.
Well, I'm going to be podcasting about this, so I'll probably have more to say then.
It's 24 episodes into it or something?
Mm-hmm. 26.
26, there you go. It's got more staying power than most shows nowadays. Okay, on to Punchline. I watched the first three episodes of this, and it has too many, I won't say premises, but that's because that's just what it looks like written down there. too many concepts running along in it at once. But it looks great. The animation's really good, and it has some funny jokes. But it's just a tangled mess of concepts. What do you think? I believe you liked it, Anthony.
I think it's... I can totally see where you're coming from, but I feel I'm willing to see it out, to see how they get strung along, how they get kind of, you know, dealt with. But to be honest, I don't know what's happening. Where the hell it's going to go, I have no idea. But I've watched two episodes, a little bit behind yourself, but I just wish I'd watched it sooner because I left this too late. This was in my queue on Crunchyroll for bloody ages and I thought, I'll try it. And I wish I'd done it earlier. Then I would have been up to date. But I like it a lot. Depending on how it ends, of course.
Did you see any of this, Bradley?
No, I didn't. But if an anime is going to underwhelm or if it's going to not be as good as it could be, I'd rather it be because it has too many ideas and too much energy. Than the opposite problem, which is a little more common. So Punchline seems like exactly the kind of thing that I like. And again, I know someone I'm going to be podcasting it with, so I'm looking forward to watching it.
Oh yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out because it might be more, if anyone listening thinks they might not like it based on the concept as written down, it's more than that concept. In fact, that concept barely plays into the first three episodes. Whether it plays into it more later on, I don't know, but
it's a bizarre one.
It is really bizarre, and I don't want to say too much because of the twist in the end of the first episode.
Okay. I've also seen that there's a lot of Sakuga gifts that have come out of this particular show, so
yeah, I mean, it looks really great. There is some really fun animation. Okay, on to, is it Rinne? Is it how it's pronounced?
Yep.
I've not watched this yet because I'm saving it for a podcast in a few weeks' time. So you two take it away.
This is like DLC. Dynamite the Brain DLC edition. We're alluding to further things. Go on, Bradley. Set this one up. I feel bad
because, well, I keep plugging my podcast as well indirectly, I realize, as I say this. But anyway, yeah, Rinne. Rinne is solid. I'm enjoying it so far. It's mostly a comedy, which I feel like is where Takahashi adaptations are at their strongest, if you compare it to Inuyasha, which was much more of a drama. And I guess most of the other adaptations that she's had made were largely comedies.
It's about 50-50.
Yeah, you're right, I think. So there are still dramatic elements to this, but they're a bit tiresome. The whole Shinigami sending bad souls off to rest is so very played out at this point. But it finds some new angles for that particular concept in comedy, and it's got that charm that I associate with particularly her writing, and she also just has a much better grasp of folklore than any other, like, manga that works with the same premise, so it has its own unique flavor as a result. Overall, I really enjoy it.
Anthony?
I'm not feeling quite as strongly as Bradley about this. The first episode, which is the only one I've seen at this point in time, it starts, and I'm like, have I missed something? Maybe I wasn't giving it full attention, which maybe it deserves to begin with, but have I missed something? Is this kind of referencing another show that, you know, I feel like I should have some kind of background knowledge, because I feel like I'm missing everything. And then it all started to fall into place. I was like, okay, I get where it's going, and I don't know whether I could watch it all. I don't know whether it's just going to be the same kind of repetition of little stories that don't really go anywhere, but as Bradley said, it's quite funny. It is quite funny. It's not jokes every 30 seconds or so, which sometimes a good thing, but when the jokes come out, it's amusing.
Okie dokie, on to Seraph of the End. I came to my senses and chose not to watch it after all.
Why? Why do you not want to watch this?
Because the comic is shite.
And is I, it? So,
yes. And I thought that maybe the designs looked better for the anime. I thought that might convince me to watch it. But in the end, as I said, decided better of it.
I don't think anybody likes this cartoon.
I've always liked the look of the characters, and it's in, like, Weekly Shonen Jump, and I think, oh, I'm too far behind. Maybe I'll watch it when it comes out. Really?
You're right where you want to be.
What, not reading it?
Not reading it.
All right, Seraph at the End.
Got to Sushi and Beyond, a.k.a. British Family Eats Japan. Okay, so... So this was a thing which I was desperate to see. It was like nobody was going to fancy it, quite clearly. It was like a weird flash animation on NHK. And then I realised, oh, it's on NHK. There is an NHK world. I wonder if... And as it's about a British family, I wonder if it's on there. And it was. So I waited 5 weeks. 5 weeks in, I went home to visit my mum, recorded it off Sky. And the acting is appalling. I'm not even sure they're professional actors. It may be the actual family.
But, wow.
The flash animation is quite stylish and I like the designs. And you can now see the dub on Viewster. It's on there as well. If you are that fascinated by it. But, it's really bad acting. It's stiffer than the flash animation.
Oh, jeez.
And what happens in a...
And they're half hour episodes. You're complaining about Ninja Slayer from animation being too long.
Yeah, this sounds like something that would really work in 5 to 7 minute intervals, but 30 minutes?
Yeah, so if you want some perspective, anybody, check on Viewster and watch Sushi and Beyond. And then maybe anime you think is not so good might suddenly become a shining star in your firmament.
There are plenty of other anime that can do exactly the same thing, though.
And something which knows the right length of a funny cartoon.
No, it doesn't.
You said you like jokes every 30 seconds a few minutes ago.
No, I'm saying, well, yeah, when they're not silly jokes. Jokes are meant to be silly, but not this silly.
TQ season 4. And also, Takamiya Nasunu Dezu. And occasionally they would swap roles. Occasionally an episode of one would be an episode of the other.
I wondered about that. Did somebody make a mistake and mislabel it on Crunchyroll, or what's going on here?
It was like 3 or 4 episodes in, all the characters from TQ showed up in the spin-off, and it basically became TQ for 2 weeks. And then recently there was an episode with just the characters from the spin-off in TQ.
Yes.
But they weren't doing butler stuff, so therefore it didn't belong in the spin-off.
Oh, yeah.
When I finally sit down to watch anime, this is how I want to start, is watching a few minutes of this goofiness and just kind of taking it all in. And then I'm in a mood to watch something much more serious and important, like JoJo's.
Oh, yes.
And I'm currently having to argue with myself whether to include the opening in my pig panel, because obviously they're dressed as characters from Journey to the West, so technically one of them is a pig.
If you do, you'll have one less person in the audience. I'll walk out, and that person will be me.
Okay, on to Triage X. So I watched the first 5 minutes of this, and then figured there was no way it could be better than that first 5 minutes, and decided not to watch any more of it ever again. This leak was on your list, Bradley. Did you watch this at all?
Was. I feel bad that you decided to take the time to watch some of this, because I waited for the first reviews, actually, before watching it, and it turns out that it's supposed to be very dark, which is not the tone I want when I saw the concept, so I decided to skip it entirely.
Yeah, it's by the comics by the artist of High School of the Dead, but I think he also wrote it, whereas I think High School of the Dead was his brother writing it.
Mm.
I don't know whether that's an improvement or not. I do know it's a show with lots of censorship. More than JoJo's. Okay, on to Vampire Holmes. I watched the first episode of this. It is piss poor. Right.
Moving on.
I didn't even know what that was. Oof. Not it, yeah.
The name is better than the cartoon. I take it.
The idea of the cartoon is better than the cartoon. It's a good idea. It's just poorly executed.
Mm.
Yeah. It's Sushi and Beyond has decent flash animation, if a bad dub. Vampire Holmes has terrible flash animation.
What, okay. Is it Sherlock Holmes as a vampire?
Yes. Well, okay. I'm not even sure he's a vampire. He's just like a really bad Sherlock Holmes. His Watson character is just despairing for how bad he is. And that's it. But it's, yeah, it's like a shit TQ. Okay, Food Wars. Bradley, do you watch more of this than I did?
I probably did. I've seen about 8 episodes.
You definitely did then.
I'm enjoying it. It is dirty. It is basic in the sense that, look, it's about food and it's about tits. That's it. But it has fun with it. And I like the crazy recipes that they cook up. I like the build up to the solution to the crazy recipes. I like its kind of extended striptease and crazy metaphors, and gosh, it's just goofy fun. I've had a really good time with it, even though the production is underwhelming and there's not really much more to it.
Yeah, it's not as good as a comic in that. I mean, the comic looks so much better than the animation does.
And yeah, plus, I agree.
The animation dwells on the losing the clothes after eating something in a metaphorical expression of the tastiness of the food much, much longer than the comic. Oh, I suppose you could dwell on it.
You could dwell on it, yes.
But in the comic, you can just go, oh, yes, that's a funny.
Look, it knows its audience.
That's a funny.
It knows what it has to do.
Moving on. Yeah, so I do like the food science aspect of the food show.
So how realistic is the food science?
Oh, I think it's fairly realistic. I mean, I'm tempted. I mean, the things I see, I can believe that they'd work. I mean, it gets more into Heston Blumenthal nonsense as it goes along. But obviously, Heston Blumenthal's doing that nonsense for real and occasionally giving people food poisoning doing it. But,
I'm looking forward, to seeing more of this, as it gets goofier. Yeah, I want to try some of the recipes myself, like the fake meat at the beginning.
Yes.
And the one where they tenderize the meat with honey, that was interesting. So, anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, the food, the drawings of food may be better than the drawings of the actual characters.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Okay, on to Mikagura School Suite. I think this might be a Bradley-only topic.
It is. I was going to skip this until I found out that Dogokoba made it, and I made the time for it, and I'm glad I did. It's not a terribly original anime. In fact, it feels so tropey and stuffed with cliches that it's almost like a weird fan fiction for the quote-unquote idea of anime, so to speak, because it takes place in a school, and there's battles in the school, and all the girls are cute, and the boys are lean and pretty, and there is nothing original here, but it does it with such energy. And the main character is so charming. She does two things. One is she fights really well. God, my voice cracked in a weird way, like I'm 16. She fights really well. And she spends a lot of time squealing over how cute all the other girls are and explaining to the audience what their charm points are. And I'm thinking, right, I'm exactly on the same wavelength as this character. So that was a cartoon. I'm probably going to finish this. It kind of hits a sweet spot for me.
Okay, I didn't watch it. Anthony?
Oh, no.
In fact, I don't think it's for either of you, to be honest.
I'm not even sure I was aware it existed. So there you go. Bradley, sound! Exclamation mark. Euphonium.
Really, really good. I think some people were surprised that this is a drama and not a comedy. And it turns out to be a really intelligent, detailed drama that feels like it has really good insight into what it's like to be a teenager. I'm hella pleased with it, and I'm looking forward to watching more, but I haven't seen the parts that are controversial. So we'll see how I feel about it later on.
I've only watched the first episode. It's fine, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm. I watched the first episode of this. I wanted to love it, but until they start playing more instruments, because that's what I want to see. I like seeing instruments animated. It sounds really boring, but more instruments being played.
The last of the spring shows that I watched, you'll be really into it, maybe.
Well, maybe not. Knowing what it is, maybe not.
But yeah, if you're missing songs actually being played in the anime, then the very last thing I have to bring up on this spring look back definitely has that in the very first episode. I think it has like three songs in the very first episode.
Are they real songs though?
Oh yeah.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches. I think I watched this on the basis of how nice the opening was. And I think the synopsis had put me off watching it, but it's really well written and acted, and I think decently animated. The first episode is a body swap comedy, and I think that's part of the ongoing story, but at least what Wikipedia suggested is that the other witches have different powers, so I'm sure it won't just be a body swap comedy. And the best thing is the voice actors don't swap, so when the two leads swap places, you then have the actress who's playing the female lead playing the male lead in her body. Mm. So she has to completely change her performance and vice versa for the male lead. And so you get the multiple people playing the same characters.
So we finally got that anime adaptation of Face Off.
Yes. But with more kissing. Imagine if Face Off, they transferred bodies when John Travolta kissed Nicolas Cage.
That would be awesome.
I'm sure that's a doujin for somebody somewhere.
Don't give them ideas.
I've heard the manga for this is excellent.
Yeah, I hear this is severely truncated from the comic. Mm-hmm. And the comic is on Crunchyroll manga, so I could actually check it out. And it turned out that Michiko Yokote was doing the script, so that was probably why it worked so well for me. But I've only watched the first episode of it.
I haven't seen it, but this is one of two series that I haven't seen that I am almost certainly going to watch later on.
Good, good. I think it's just running 12 episodes into it, and then they're putting out DVDs with the comic. And the last thing, which I finally checked out this weekend, this was a thing I think a few people were raving crazily about when it first started. And then again, once it started getting a broadcast dub on Funimation site. And that is Show by Rock, the new Sanrio show. Their very first one to air late at night, deliberately for male audiences. Though I think it's got an idea for female audiences, the amount of Bishonen characters appear in this.
Oh, hang on. I thought this was a children's cartoon.
Oh, no.
They're not airing it for kids at all?
No, it's strictly aired for adults. This is the next logical step from Jewel Pet.
I guess. Some adults enjoy Jewel Pet as well.
Oh, well, that's why I think they decided they'd go for whole hog and try and get more money out of those adults. By putting out premium products rather than child price products.
Okay.
And it's a very strange show, at least in the first episode that I watched. I can't imagine it gets more sane as it goes along. So the lead girl wants to join the school band, but she can't pluck up courage to ask them to join the band, and then she's imagining her joining the band and becoming a big star, and that's where you get the first song and the opening theme, and then it cuts back to her waving her arm in the air as everybody's looking at her, as it becomes clear she wasn't just imagining it, she was acting it out in front of everybody at school. Then she gets a weird call on her cell phone, answers it, and gets sucked into a world of animal people through her cell phone and turned into a CGI gothic Lolita cat. And then there's a band of CGI Bishonen cats, I think. Wikipedia says they're undisclosed animals at this point. Who then get attacked by a giant skeleton monster, and she saves them by shredding on a heart-shaped talking guitar. And then that display of great guitar playing gets her signed to a recording contract by an egg with a mustache. And there are some more pigs that I have to add to the Kitacon panel. Basically, there's three recurring fans of this boy band, and they're all three pigs. So I don't know what they're saying about fans of idols. Nothing good, I'm sure. Mm. It's ridiculous. It's an absolutely bonkers show. The lead has three character designs. She's human character design, anime cat girl character design, and then also these like super deformed CGI. Because then when they, I can't remember what they call it, they have to go into like another dimension within this other dimension, and when they do that, they turn into CGI animals. Apparently, in episode two, there's another band of Bishonen, like a visual K band of Bishonen, which has a Bishonen hedgehog leading as the lead singer.
Yeah, anytime somebody talks about this show on Twitter, it sounds like something hallucinated. I'm going to watch more of this. I've only seen the first few minutes of the first episode, and then something came up, and I never got back to watching it.
Yeah, because those first few minutes aren't really, they don't really give you an idea of what on earth it turns into. I have no idea if she like goes back to the real world at all, or if she's like stuck in this weird animal world for the rest of the show.
I don't think I need this.
I think it's based on a video game or an arcade game or something. Or at least it ties into it. You don't need it, Anthony?
I don't think so. This isn't the kind of animated instruments that I would like to see.
Okay, make a note, Bradley, to make Anthony watch it at a future later date.
Oh, you've been wanting to come on my podcast, haven't you, Anthony? I think we just found the cartoon.
I'm not...
Okay, ongoing shows. Anyone still watching Assassination Classroom?
I want to.
Eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
I mean, it's wrapped up, hasn't it, this season? And then they're coming back in 2016.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's a good point to know what I've got to watch up to, so... One week.
Go, Princess Pretty-Cure. Bradley, do you stick with this?
No, I actually haven't seen anything beyond the first episode, so...
That's how we do it on Dynamite in the Brain. Just watching first episodes of things. What more do you need to watch?
I liked it well enough for what it's worth, but... Anyway, very, very cute character designs this time around. That's all I got.
Okay, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Did you watch this, Anthony?
I think I may have watched the first episode. Yeah, I watched a little bit of this.
We still haven't recorded our last episode.
No.
But did you enjoy the last episode?
Oh, I did. So much so, I was ready to start reading the next part instantly. Part four, so. I didn't start because I couldn't find a good enough source, shall we say. But I will.
Did you watch all this, Bradley?
I'm almost up to date to it. I'm saving the fight with Dio, though, so I can shotgun that in one go. So I'll probably watch that later tonight.
Okay, One Piece. Bad news, Bradley, there's still nowhere near the end of this arc.
What the heck? What's going to happen, I swear, is I'm going to have to take a couple weeks off of work to finally get this episode.
You're
going
to have about 2 years worth of stuff to watch.
What the heck? The manga hasn't even ended yet?
The manga ends, I believe the arc ends on Monday. But then we'll have all like the epilogue stuff. But, yes.
That is mind blowing.
How many episodes has this arc been going on for?
Oh, a good few.
A few hundred?
Over 100. 2 years. So.
I might be taking in Punk Hazard in with that though, because it's like one long story.
Mm, kind of like how Water 7 is.
Yeah. But yeah, the last four episodes have all been good, like really good, and I think it unfairly raises expectations for other Toei shows.
Or it just sucks all the other resources for Toei.
Though, to be fair, the episode before those four was horrible. It was one of the worst One Piece episodes I've ever seen.
Oh, how are the Sentai shows right now?
Shuriken Sentai Ninja is okay. I mean, It kind of feels a bit like it's treading water at this point. I'm sure once it hits about episode 25, things will switch up again. But the Granddad, the Last Ninja, Moment, the Pink Ninja, and the American Star Ninja are probably the best things about it. It has that problem where obviously they kind of clomp onto whoever turns out to be the best actors, and then give them more stuff to do. And unfortunately, there's not as many good actors in this one. Kamen Rider Drive, though. So good. So good. I may be my favorite of the shows that I've seen so far. Cause this one never feels like they're adjusting stuff to the actors or adjusting stuff because of toy feedback or something. Because things which seemed like a joke from the very first episode turn out to have like, be part of a key pivotal plot point later on. Yeah, it's really dense plotting and good writing all the way through.
I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of this, so.
You know, I just wish the suit designs were a bit better and the guy playing, Mac was a bit better of an actor, but,
Yeah, I like the main suit design for Drive and for, who's the other rider?
Mac, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
The main rider suit designs are good, and some of the spin-off designs are okay. The latest design for Drive is ridiculous, though.
There are some really blocky designs for some of the suits, and I am not a fan of that look.
And the monster designs aren't that great either, I don't think. Yeah. They're picking up a bit towards the end. But, yeah, really, really, really enjoying it. Okay, nothing else, and then we'll move on to our summer picks.
Sounds good.
Summer picks! Okay, right. I'm going to kick things off with the thing I've already watched episode zero of, and that is Gatchaman Crowd's Insight.
Oh, I didn't realize that was out.
Yeah, it's on Hulu Japan. There's like a 15-minute preview episode, which is a little bit of recap of the original series, and then like them doing a superhero thing and sort of a prelude to what I guess might be the villains in the new season. And some new characters. But, yeah, really hyped for this, watching it again. And also just seeing them all work together as functional superheroes seems weird of how many episodes it was before they got to that way in the first series. And you get to see...
Do you think that'll stick, though? Because so much of Gatchaman Crowd is about upending expectations.
Oh, I mean, they mentioned... I believe she says she's going to be an alien and go and meet the new member of the team. So those are where the upending is. And there's loads of new characters if you've seen the news about it. And it is another direct reference to, Gatchaman 2. So one of the new characters has the same name as the villain from Gatchaman 2.
Okay.
Which, hopefully means if this does well, which I presumably will do, they'll do a third one as well with, Ego Bossler from Gatchaman F. Anyone else looking forward to this, Bradley, Anthony?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Am I ever going to be forced to watch Crowds? I can't remember whether it was on the list or not, but couldn't get into Crowds. You know me, I'm a completionist, so I would never skip a series.
So. It's not even a sequel to Gatchaman, is it?
No. It's like, Yataman Nights is actually a sequel to Yataman.
Yeah.
But it is... It's kind of, there's like loads of visual references to Gatchaman, but I think Anthony though was talking about he won't watch Insight because he's not watched Crowds.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, next on my list was Gangsta, which I know nothing about except the trailers look really good.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So on board at least for the first episode, and hopefully they can keep it up for the rest of it.
Animated version of The Sopranos?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
It's the anime version of, oh crap, my joke got completely ruined because I forgot to what Black Lagoon was called. Black Lagoon. God damn it.
From the trailer I've watched, I hope it stays like the trailer in a way that they don't have silly powers or anything like that. I want this to be a grounded show about mafia and gangs and, yeah, have somebody who's a bit strong, that kind of thing, but no silly powers, please, and I will like this.
The manga's out, isn't it, through Viz, I believe.
Yep.
Okay. Might be worth having a read. In fact, no, I'm just going to watch it.
There you go.
Why the heck not?
Dragon Ball Super. 2 years worth. They've announced 2 years worth.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If this happens this season, and I'm not 100% convinced it will, because we still don't know anything about it, and they...
Oh, we do. There's a trailer out. There's pictures of some of the new characters. There's names of the new characters.
Oh, that took a while. Did we have the staff there yet, though?
We had the staff for ages.
Well, good luck.
I admit, I still wake up every morning and think this is a big joke. I think I must have dreamt the internet that night, because it didn't feel like it feels like it's going to happen, but it's just so surreal.
It feels like it's going to be the new Sailor Moon Crystal, right?
I don't know. No, I want to see. I've got high hopes. But
Sailor Moon hasn't had two movies in the last few years which have made that amount of money. So I think they're probably a bit more on board with Dragon Ball Super. And I should stick it next to One Piece, which I presumably is where it's going to slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely the slot. Like, that's why people knew well ahead of time that it was definitely happening in the summer, because whatever has that slot right now that Toei has is ending. So they have to put something in there.
Yeah.
They can't let that go.
And they've set themselves an end date as well. So.
Okay.
So I presumably they have like plots sketched out from Toriyama.
Hmm. I mean, if it's garbage, it's garbage. It's like...
But it's not going to be garbage.
It's not going to
be Dragon Ball.
It is.
It's going to have its ups and downs in terms of quality. But mm-hmm. hopefully it'll be paced better, because they're not having to actually adapt a comic and drag it out.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll be as funny as some of the stuff in the movies.
I want funny and action.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to get that.
Yeah, so if it has that mix, which...
There's another God of Destruction in the... In the
the fatter version.
Yes, which we know there's other ones because he mentioned them.
Yeah. Okay.
In the movie, so.
Have you seen Resurrection of F yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Next on my list is Do Ra 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 and whatever its abbreviation is. 2.2, essentially, isn't it? It's the
mm-hmm.
part two of this second adaptation. I liked the last season. I know a lot of people didn't, so I'm looking forward to this one. Yeah, I mean, any problems with pacing are all down to the books. But I'm happy enough to just hang out with those characters, so there you go.
I'll get around to it.
Yeah, I wonder whether it'll play better. Yeah, it probably won't matter whether you wait for all three.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, I'm not sure it will matter. I can imagine the slow bits will still be slow in the last season. Regardless of sticking them all together with the other ones. Next up is Yushio and Tora. The trailer to this looks awesome.
It does.
It does. Yeah.
And again, this has the advantage of the comics finished. So no need to drag stuff out. There's more stuff than they could have adapted for the OAVs written. So unless there's like goes into a slump in animation, which it probably will do, but I think we'll be more worried with a slump in writing, I think.
Mm.
But it seems from the look of it, they want to keep it as close to the look of the comic as possible. So hopefully that means they'll also want to keep it to the story as well. But yeah, looking forward to that.
It's funny because it was kind of a bit of a dream with this one. Not that I've seen the OVA or anything, but I kept seeing people posting pictures on Twitter of like the OVA, and I was like, oh, I should probably hunt it down. And then the next week or so, it was announced that it was getting a series. I was like, oh, good. And it does.
Okay, let's go move to Anthony's list for a bit. God Eater. Explain yourself.
Well, I don't think I can. That's the thing. It's so apparently there's these things that attack the Earth. They're not affected by normal weapons, and they've got this kind of gene in them that that's what gives them the power. A bunch of humans get this gene implanted in them, or whatever the terminology is, and then they can fight on equal ground. But it's kind of CGI, cel-shaded looking, and I don't know. The preview I watched was so quick in terms of what it showed, I was like, I'll give it a chance. Maybe if they had a longer scene and I would get to see the CGI properly, I might turn a nose up. But I'm going to give it a chance. It's called God Eater, so hopefully there's big shit getting killed.
Yeah, I was thinking of something else. That's why I thought you'd pick something even worse than this.
Oh, what did you think?
This just wasn't on my radar. I was thinking of Overlord.
Well, that nearly made the list, and then I kind of saw God Eater, so I thought,
I was going to say, he always made the list until I looked at the trailer of Overlord, and then I thought, oh, I do not like the look of that. But, you know, that God Eater might be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I'll give it a chance, see how it plays out, and then probably drop it after the first episode.
Anthony, also on your list, you had Prison School.
Which I don't really... Well, that's the response right there. Not from me, but from everybody else in the world. So I don't know a great deal about it, but it's... Everyone's mentioned it. Everyone's talked about it in some way or form, so it's only fair that I add it on the list.
And it wasn't until they released the trailer and the staff list that I went from, this is something I'm going to watch, to, this is something I'm really excited about seeing. It looks like the return of Azazel Son in some respects.
Yeah.
Because Mizushima is directing it, has a lot of the same staff, and gosh, I'm hyped.
Yeah, I wasn't hyped by the trailer, but then I saw who was directing and writing and doing the character design animation direction, and I thought, okay, yeah. We'll probably have to check that out.
But, see, I know so little about the story that all I know is five guys go to an all-girls school, and it's really strict, and they get put in a prison. I don't really know much beyond that.
It's a prison school, to borrow a phrase, and everyone is apparently a jerk in this cartoon, so...
Good.
Let's go on to Bradley's love of sequels.
Okay, so how about I just shotgun through this list of sequels real quick?
Yeah.
Won't dwell on them. So I'm looking forward to the following sequels, and this is roughly in the list of how much I'm looking forward to them. We're getting a third season of Working, of all things. That's unexpected, and I don't think it's the same staff as the first season. Oh, well. Yuri is getting a third season as well. I never even finished the second, but I'm willing to give the third season a shot. Cinderella Girls, the Idolmaster spinoff of Idolmaster, is okay, but it's gradually growing on me. I could see myself watching the second season. So the one I'm really excited about and have been looking forward to for an entire year, which is weird. I didn't expect to like this thing so much that I end up getting as excited as I am right now for the second season of Non Non Biori.
Okay. Also, you Symphogear 3 you had written down.
Oh, I forgot about Symphogear 3. Yeah, odds are I'm not going to watch this at all. I love the idea of it more than the execution that I saw in the first few episodes. But come on, Symphogear 3, I have a hard time speaking right now apparently, has the subtitle of Determination to Fist. And the show is famous for its hella strong lesbian subtext. I have to give this a chance.
Yeah, I was in the same boat with regarding that. I thought, oh, that might looks like something I might like. And then at least this series and the previous series are directed by the woman who did Beast Saga and Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds and Hataraki Man. And she's no good.
Oh.
She's not bad, but it's just the sort of mid-2000s mediocrity is what her stuff looks like.
And it sucks because the concept is so out there and strange, and it shoots for this really strong style that's a combination of hyper-violent and very action-y and stylistic. I love the character designs in particular, which are they're cute character designs, right? But they have this really angular look to them that suggests a lot of action. And it's, the show has everything but the execution, it seems like. Anyway, the full subtitle is Believe in Justice and Hold a Determination to Fist. That is so awesome. I'm going to give this a second shot. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it could be that she just gets all of her action out in this show. Mm. And not in one selling animal toys or card games. Okay, let's go back to Anthony. Rocker Braves of the Six Flowers / Heroes of the Six Flowers.
Because I don't know what's the right title. I didn't look into it that deep. But speaking of bad, or people who are no good, the director of this show did a few of our favorites. Smash Hit.
Oh, Spice and Wolf. Yep.
Yeah, which I hate. Spice. I thought it was so dull. So it nearly dropped. It nearly fell off the list. Nearly. But there's something about the premise that's intriguing, which is, you know, six warriors get chosen to fight for the world, and they all get a place to meet. But there's seven people that show up. So, like, someone's, is that going to be a villain? You know, is, other than that, I don't know a whole lot, but the Smash Hit and Spice and Wolf thing kind of leads me on that it's going to be dull.
I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out to be good. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
The trailer makes it look like it's just straightforward fantasy, which I am always in the mood for. So
yeah, same.
Okay, let's go back to Bradley's list. Snow White with Red Hair.
So this is a shoujo fantasy series in the vein of Yore of the Dawn, or if you're flashing back way back, Escaflowne may be a good comparison from what I've seen. I like that style of fantasy. I feel like we don't get enough of it. And it's also going to be directed by Masahiro Ando, who is the director of, I guess he's doing this instead of Under the Dog right now. he's done a couple of other series that I like. So this could be pretty good.
Oh, yes, Bones doing the studio as well, so. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't think it was even come onto my radar, so maybe I'll have to check that out as well. A Boring World Where the Concepts of Dirty Jokes Don't Exist.
So this looks like it's going to be dumb and puerile because it's about a dystopic future Japan where they have cracked down on pervert stuff so hard that the way to rebel against the state and to scare off all the police is to put panties on your face and scream cock. I'm of instantly two minds, which is, wow, this is dumb and puerile, but I hope it's dumb and puerile and fun. I don't know, though. What was that show that also did a lot of dirty jokes?
Goku Jiu.
That was a vague description, but I think you grabbed the right one. Yes. I hope it's more like that than this.
Yeah, but that was only like 10-minute episodes. This is, I don't know how long this thing is.
I don't either.
It could, and the other problem with these, is it based on a light novel or a...
It's based on a manga, and it's from Dengeki Online. Who yes. have done some really... It's been the source material for some really good anime, so it might work out.
Okay, because, yeah. You've also got the problem, is there enough gags in the manga to support a show? And if mm-hmm. you have to add more gags, can the screenwriters match the gags in the comic? Assuming the gags in the comic are funny to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was not sure about that... Himuto Umaru-chan, and then I checked out the comic and I thought, no, the comic is almost good, but it's one where you can clearly tell that it's having to bow to the demands of the audience and the editors.
So can we go on ahead and talk about that, because that's yes. also on my list. I haven't read any of the comic and the description is a little vague. I'm only watching this because Dogokoba is adapting it. It's a short series, so I can't imagine it'd be too much of an investment, and the director of it has done some decently funny stuff. So what's the comic like then?
It's basically there's this guy who lives with his sister. His sister at school appears to be the model of a high school student, but as soon as she gets home, she turns into a slob and an autarchic.
That's it?
That's it, but of course, because it's a comic about a big brother and a little sister, you can't resist, or the editors can't resist forcing the creator to work into incest innuendo.
Yeah. Right, moving on.
But it's it is innuendo. It's nothing up front, but you can tell. You can tell basically sort of the demands of what the editors think the audience wants.
I mean, because I have actual sisters, I have a very low tolerance for that kind of humor. So I may end up skipping this now.
There you go. Okay, moving on to Classroom Crisis.
Yeah, this is also on my list. So this seems like it could be a coin toss.
This was half on my list.
Mm-hmm.
It was because I don't really know what on earth it's going to be like.
It's being a little cryptic about what it's about. The trailer doesn't really show much. The concept seems to be it takes place on Mars in the future. The main characters are high school students, and they work as engineers as a part-time job. They're being mentored by somebody, and that's really all we know. So is this going to be a low-key science fiction drama? Is it going to be a healing anime? We have no idea, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, the only thing that's going for it for me is the fact it's directed by the guy who did Gundam Build Fighters and also storyboarded that episode of Blood Blockade Battlefront, I said was my favorite.
I could see it being really good, but I don't know what it's about.
Yeah, ditto.
I could also just see it being one of those shows that's good, but it's just for me and it does nothing for you. Right?
Yeah. Okay, move back to my list. Kuriyami Santa, which is a short which appears to be animated in such a way as to try and convince you that it's a lost 1960s anime.
Ooh. This is awesome. I love this idea.
And it's about a familiar from hell who is charged with maintaining the border between hell and the human world, apparently. But looking at the trailer, I was like, that is just a ridiculous idea, but I'm pleased you're giving it a go, so I'm going to check it out, assuming that it gets picked up anywhere. But maybe it's short enough, I may be able to understand it without any subtitles. Who knows? But it does a pretty good job of sort of capturing the style, at least from the trailer.
That sounds pretty good, actually. I'll have to add that to my list.
I was kind of wishing that they'd make the fake anime, which is in Kamen Rider Drive, into a real anime. Have you got to that bit in Drive yet, Bradley?
No, I haven't, actually.
You know the computer nerd who in Drive, he's always wearing a shirt with a particular logo on. That's the fake anime, which becomes an important part of a later episode.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. I think it's supposed to be like a foreign anime or a foreign cartoon that he's a fan of. I think that's the idea, if I remember correctly, from the plot point when it comes up.
Oh, okay.
Because I think he gets mad that the film adaptation is going to be dubbed into Japanese.
Even there, they argue about subs versus dubs.
Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, that's how that plot works. Talking of shorts, let's go through my other shorts, which I've got on my list. TQ Season 5, obviously. Yes. Stranger Season 5. And The Return of Hatalia. When was the last one? Did that get picked up by somebody last time?
Probably. It's apparently a really good seller for Funimation.
Yeah.
How does this still exist?
Well, they've given it some time, so I'm assuming the creator's written some more comics since then.
All right. Like, this and Working really feel like a flashback to a few years ago.
It does, if
that makes any sense.
But yeah, this will be seeing whether there are still fans. But when it's focused on social, political, geopolitical comedy, I think it's really, really good. When it's just being gay innuendo, then it can be a bit tiring.
I mean, both of those things sound awesome, but yeah.
In the right measure, it could be fun.
In the right measure,
but
yeah.
I think some of the seasons, they've really, you've had one too much over the other.
Oh, I agree from what I've seen, but I haven't finished even the first season. So
the last one was only 2 years ago. There you go. Mm-hmm. So
it feels like forever ago.
Right?
Yeah.
Really does. Odd. Anyway.
Okay, let's get back to your list, Bradley. I think it's just you now.
Yep.
We've got left. Wakako Zaki.
It's a cartoon about my life is what it is. This is about a working woman who...
Oh, that's just... you.
Okay. Hang on. I'm getting to the part where it's about my life. So she works really hard. And then at the end of the day, what she does to relax is she goes to new restaurants and eats and drinks alone. It's a short cartoon about that. And probably about how awesome the food is that she eats and the sake that she drinks or whatever. That's what I do when I get off of work. So I don't know. I'm really looking forward to this.
And anything else on this list?
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we're all done and dusted. Well, it's summer, so it's not normally so much stuff to cover. But yeah, I think Gatchaman crowds in sight. I'll definitely be watching week on week. Dragon Ball Super, probably watching because we may be doing a podcast about it to replace our JoJo's one, though the threat of us having to do it for 2 years constantly.
Yeah, but if JoJo's comes back.
I know.
Cancel it. Simple as.
Just take a break and do Lupin in the fall.
Yeah, but Dragon Ball.
But yeah, Anthony is such a super Dragon Ball fan, it might be fun to at least give it a go. Hey, if it's bad, no one's holding a gun to our head.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
No one's forcing us. You must podcast.
I mean, I will be upset if you don't podcast JoJo's Part 4 for what it's worth.
Oh, we'll definitely do that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if anything gives, if we love Dragon Ball and JoJo's comes out, I think the thing which will give will be Dynamite in the Brain. No.
Oh.
But I will say that week in Dragon Ball news is going to be a bit much bigger segment than the week in JoJo's news. I've set up a Google alert for Dragon Ball and boy, do you get a lot of stuff coming in.
It's constant.
Yeah, Well, I only do it once a day, thankfully, so. But yeah, the list is a lot bigger and it's in a lot wider frame of reference as well. It's like sports news of people who are really big fans of Dragon Ball, working in Dragon Ball references into whatever they're doing. Okay, on to the game. It's the return of higher or lower year releases. I can't remember what I used to call it.
It's such a catchy name.
It is. Okay, yes. So I'm going to give you the name of an anime. This time, it's not just going to be TV. It's going to be films and OAVs as well.
Oh.
And it's between the golden period of 1984 to 1992, I do believe.
Nice.
And not one per year. There's some which have multiple ones within a year. But all you have to do is I'll give you one, and then you just have to say whether the next one came out before or after it, rather than having to guess the year. Which means I need to save one for the tiebreak question.
There'll not be a need for a tiebreak.
Yeah, you've been.
I've got this.
On a good run. Okay.
Yeah. The same year repeat back to back here?
No.
Okay.
Good. It might for me.
I've carefully gone through and sorted that so that won't happen.
Good.
Okay, so our starting point will be, let's say, slap bang in the middle or thereabouts. We'll start with Pat Labor movie number one, which came out in 1989. And so, Bradley, did Porco Rosso come out before or after that?
Ooh. This is tough. I'm going to say after.
You are correct, 1992.
I was trying to figure out when Nausicaa came out, so I think... Anyway, sorry.
Okay, Anthony, Cyber City Oedo.
I think that's a 91, so I'm going to say before. Well, it's got to be before.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Is it 91?
It is. No, it's 1990, but you're correct. It's before.
Okay. I was close.
Bradley, Black Magic M66.
After.
Before.
No, 1987.
Ooh.
I've seen that.
Anthony, Akira.
Oh, gosh. This is going to be awful. It's got to be after?
You are correct. 1988.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tokyo is going to explode.
Bradley. Galforce, Eternal Story.
I have no idea. After?
No, before, 1986. Anthony, Dirty Pair TV.
Hmm. 86. Only got 2 years to... I'm going to say after.
You are incorrect. It came out in 1985.
Oh. We are getting wrecked with this one.
Bradley, 3x3 Eyes.
I was just thinking about that during the recording as we were talking about Ushio and Toshio for some reason. And I think it was late 80s, so I want to say after?
You are correct, 1991.
Oh, okay.
Anthony, Night on the Galactic Railroad.
It's before.
You are correct, 1985. Bradley, Record of Lodoss War.
Cool. After.
You are correct, 1990. And Anthony, last one for you. If you get this, you win.
Oh, yes.
Project Aiko.
What, yeah, we're on 1991 at the moment?
1990 at the moment.
1990. Do I just, oh, it's stacked to before, but I'm going to say after.
No, before. So, okay, we've got a tiebreaker here. Bradley.
Yes.
But how's this tiebreaker working? How are we?
Oh, if Bradley gets it right, he wins. If he loses, if he gets it wrong, you win.
Oh, okay, that's fine then.
Okay, Project Echo 1986, Lensman.
Did Lensman come after 1986? Yes.
No, 1984.
Yes! Oh!
Actually, how would you did it for me?
This man has
saved me.
Okay. Right. So I need to give that a name and also remember not to give the range out. Next time.
Oh, that'd be difficult. The range helps.
In all yeah, the, but it makes some of them instant wins, though.
I guess.
It does, yes. If I could remember what the range you gave us was.
I noted it down, you see.
So I was carefully removing ones from the list as I was doing it. So removed from the list was Macross, Do You Remember Love, and Giant Robo, because they were far end of each. Mm. Righty-ho. Anything you want to plug? Maybe that podcast of yours, Bradley.
Bradley does a podcast?
I didn't know I had a podcast. Jeez. Anime Now Podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, probably other venues as I try to expand now that I seem to have some idea of how to edit a podcast. So you can find that there, and it's just reviews of new anime like what we discussed here, but with all kinds of really smart people, including Brian in some episodes, and Anthony will probably be in a future episode sometime.
Ooh. Okay, and Anthony.
Adventure Bastards is coming back by popular demand.
Are these ones recorded years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, ones that should have been out a while back, but it's coming back. So, I mean, I don't really know what the best place to... if you just go to YouTube and search Adventure Bastards, it is on the Locked Door Puzzle YouTube channel. And, yeah, when I say popular demand, we genuinely had people writing comments saying, where are you guys? So it's come back. As well as that is Twitter, which is AntAskYou. And that
is all.
I
thought now Perrin was local, you might have gone and strong-armed him. And
well, that's the thing. We've threatened that, but he says, if you pester too much, I just won't do it. So, fair enough.
So are you going to be able to do it without all being on Skype now?
No.
No, still some people too far away.
Yeah, yeah. And instead of doing it once a week, which we were doing for a little while, it's going to be twice a month. Because once a week is tough going, because it's like a 4-hour session. And then obviously I've got Dynamite in the Brain and the other stuff, priorities, you know.
Yeah, and then you've got to, he edits them as well, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Which, that seems to be the thing that takes his time with. And he asked me to edit them, and I was like, like, I could, like, I know how to edit
them. No, you've got to be editing this Dragon Ball podcast.
Well, exactly, I mean, I would never let that outweigh Dynamite in the Brain, so...
Okay, and I'll be at Kitacon doing a talk about anime pigs at 7 o'clock on the Friday night. And on the Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I'll be playing a load of weird videos for you at Madstravaganza. So come along and have your brains trickle out your ears to finish off the weekend. And you can find me, all those cats are back by the sounds of things, and you can find me, I'll do a cat one eventually, no need to get angry. You can find me on Twitter at awesome_ng. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, on player.fm, on Stitcher, on other aggregator sites, and of course, on the good old iTunes. So why not subscribe, write a review, so more people can find out about the soothsayers that are Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye!
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.